We're going to get started. 199, page 199 in your book. Turn there, please, and let's stand. Let's sing about where the soul never dies. That's going to be a good place.
To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. A rose is blooming there for me, where the soul never dies. And I will spend eternity where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul never dies, where there will be no parting hand and the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies.
That's beautiful. You may be seated. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who's got a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Yes, Miss Pam.
My husband, please, and my children
and my sisters live in Florida. And I praise the Lord.
They are safe. Nothing
but a rain and wind, but no destruction. That is wonderful. And
Marcy.
Yes. What's her name? Marcy. Marcy. Remember Marcy. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Stacy. Yes, Miss Becky. We don't forget about Becky. All right, John. Stace. Okay. Yes, okay. Brenda. Okay. Remember Jack Brooks back there? Jack, just come in. Remember him in your prayers. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Henry. Okay. Let's remember that. That gives you a lot of anxiety. Okay. All right. Young men, come on up and take up the Sunday night offering for me if you don't care. Beautiful. All right. Do remember those people in Florida. That's devastating to a lot of families down there. You know, you just, one day you have your home and your children's running around. The next day, you know, you can't even find it. You don't even know where it's at. And if it is there, it's waters up to the roof almost. It's devastating. That's a lot of families hurt down there. You know, we in this area, we've never seen a lot of that up here in Tennessee. I know their hearts are broke. So just remember each and every one of them. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your kindness, your greatness. You do so much for us every day of our lives, and we a lot of times don't look up and thank you for that. May we always have that attitude, be humble and thank you for everything you do for us. God, we do pray for all the prayer requests mentioned tonight. We put them at your feet. You already know them before we ask them, but you still want us to ask you to help us. In this life, Lord, we know we think we can do things, but sometimes we see how little we are and that we can't do many things. We need your help. God, be with those folks in Florida. Help them, please. And bless this offering for your honor and your glory. In your name we will pray. Amen. Page 307 in your book. You can remain seated. 307. If the road before you offers not but toil and pain, if the sun is hidden by dark clouds of rain, if within a ray of hope your life is filled with care, take it to the Lord in prayer. Many are the heartaches that will come to you. Keep your trust in Jesus, He will see you through. Never will you find a friend so kind and true. Take it to the Lord in prayer. When it seems that not a friend on earth can understand, when temptation comes to you from every hand, when your strength is almost gone and there's no one to care, take it to the Lord in prayer. And many are the heartaches that will come to you. Keep your trust in Jesus, He will see you through. Never will you find a friend so kind and true. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In your disappointment, when your heart is torn with grief, in your times of sorrow, when there's no relief, just remember there is one who knows the load you bear, and take it to the Lord in prayer. Many are the heartaches that will come to you, but keep your trust in Jesus, He will see you through. Never will you find a friend so kind and true. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's good singing.
It's good to see everybody this evening. How many of y'all been coming on Wednesday night? You enjoy that? Well, turn with me then, if you would, to Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. Anybody familiar with those verses? If you were here Wednesday night, you're very familiar with them, because we covered them in our study. But that was part of it. It wasn't the whole thing. We were 1 through 9. But I'm going to look at 6 through 9. We touched on it Wednesday night very sparingly. If you remember, we were talking about a whole lot of shaking going on. You remember that? Shaking things up. And we made mention that when the different groups took over each other to have power over all the people, they didn't do a whole lot of shaking. They shook things up fairly well. But we come to see that when the Lord comes back at the end time, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking. And we're going to go back and cover that just a little bit tonight. if you will. Since we covered the hell thing this morning and just laid it out plain as I could lay it out, that God wanted me to, that we've got to see hell as real. It's not just a religious thing we talk about. If you know somebody's lost, their next step could be in hell. In a split second, they could be in hell. If that's somebody that you love or you know, you don't want that to happen. We've got to get it right, don't we? So anyway, here in these verses, during the Great Tribulation period of time, when he comes back, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. In fact, I think I give you a couple chapters for you to look up yourself, and it would speak of Russia coming down and taking over Israel at that time. So there's going to be a whole lot of things happening at that time. Main thing that I wanted to deal with tonight was what will the nations desire at that time? The nations. We're not talking about individuals now. We're talking about nations. So let's read those verses from 6 to 9, if you will. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Does that sound like that he's leaving anything unshaken? No. Verse 7, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. After he shakes everything up, he's going to give us peace. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Lord, we do thank you for this precious word. We thank you, Lord, that you're allowing us to take a glimpse down the road when you're going to come back and shake things up. Lord, we're looking for you. Your children will always be looking for you. And I pray that everyone who's here tonight will be looking for that happening. What a great happening it's going to be. We're going to praise you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I think all agree that this reference here in this scripture to the coming of the Lord, or the coming of the Messiah, is not the first coming, because there wasn't he wasn't brought in by a whole lot of shaking at that time. He was brought in with universal peace, actually, and that's why we have so many cards, Christmas cards made with peace on them, is because that's what he brought. Now the world doesn't know that peace that most of the cards talk about. It just sounds good. Peace is a word that sounds good. Don't you agree? It does. It sounds good. And everybody wants peace. But if we're going to experience real peace, we've got to know what God declares of us to have real peace. And when he comes back and he shakes this thing up, then he's going to follow it up with that, after that universal shaking that's going on, he's going to follow it up with peace. So, The reference that we're talking about here doesn't have to do with the first coming. It has to do with the second coming. And we're just going to take a look at the nations, because the nations are important to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The condition of the nations at his second coming is what he's looking at here. And he's going to ask some questions. He wants to know where the nations are. I will shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake the nations. And that's the part of it that we want to take a look at. I will shake the nations. The shaking that he's talking about are convulsions. This earth convulses every once in a while. If you don't think so, ask the folks in Hawaii. They'll tell you that it does convulse. And not just there, and out in Washington State, Alaska. In fact, there's some areas in this East Tennessee where there's some times when the earth seems like it wants to do a good convulsion. But we just get a little shaking going on. But the earth does do that. But that's not all that he's talking about here when he talks about the earth shaking. There will be shaking of this old earth. But I believe the thing that I see as a shaking of where we are as a nation is the internal shaking going on inside our nation, the internal strife and things that are going on. I hardly ever mention racial tension and racial things, because I think that's been wore out, to be honest with you. I think people are just using it to use as a phrase to make a point, and so I normally don't, but I will say that since it is one of those areas where we are convulsion inside of our nation, it is one of those things that's happening right now. And so we know that. And the media gets a hold of things like this, and they go crazy with it. We understand how that is. The daily newspapers and the news programs on TV are part of this evidence that there is a process of shaking going on in our country. And they're a part of the shaking. I hope you can see that. That this country stays divided, this country stays separated in how we feel, how we think, and it's largely because of the news that's coming from the TV and the newspapers that come out. We listen to it over and over and over. We get to believe in some of it, or maybe all of it, and it just it's a convulsion inside of our own country. So we're not necessarily warranted here to look for a conversion before the Lord comes back. I don't see that happening. I don't believe there's going to be a large conversion. I don't believe there's going to be a large revival. The Bible never states that we'll have a big revival before he comes back. In fact, I believe it's just the opposite. I believe that the Bible states that we're going to wax worse and worse. So if you know these things and they're inside your heart and your head, and you know that when you read the Word or you see things happening through our news media and everything, you can say, I can see Satan working in this, and God's going to use it for his glory. But when he comes back, there are certain signs for us to look at. Now I'm going to take you to the New Testament for us to take a look at Luke chapter 21 and verse 25 through 28. If you'll turn there, we'll read that together. Because he's talking about the return of the Lord in glory. Wasn't that what he said there in that one verse? Say yes. Okay, thank you. Now let's look at Luke, if you will. Luke 21, 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distresses of nations. Distress of nations. That's what I'm talking about. Our nation is distressed. And not only ours, nations all over this world are distressed. Worse than any time I believe I've ever seen in my life. And I'm one of the older people in this building tonight. I've never seen so many nations under so much distress as there is in this world today. And so he goes on, he says, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. Do you see it? I prefer simple to about everything. I try to simplify everything. If I can't simplify it, I probably just walk away from it because I don't like perplexing things. So, but he says here, not only is it distress of the nations, but with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. You can call that ocean rise if you want to. And you can say it's happening because of global warming. I don't care what you say it's happening. He says things are beginning to happen. But now when he causes the shaking going on, it's going to be a tsunami. It's not going to be a couple inches on Myrtle Beach over the last 200 years. And that's what they're talking about. When he shakes this thing, it's going to have a good shaking. And there's going to be a tsunami of shaking. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Really? What causes men's heart to fail them for fear? Well, it just goes right back to the feeding of the media, feeding the things that they feed us with, folks. Be very careful how you listen to the news. Be very careful how you listen to it, because they're feeding you, and men get and women get all perplexed and stressed out. And first thing you know, they're going to the heart doctor, and he says, "You need to calm down a little bit. You're a little bit stressed here." And they say, "Well, I listen to the news." Quit listening to it if it's going to bother you that much, okay? That's what I say. So he says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with the power of great glory. Amen?
Amen.
Let it shake. I don't care. Let it shake. But see, when it's all shaken up, you ever get you a bottle of pop and put your thumb over it and shake it up and then take your thumb away or just partially take it off? You can cause a commotion with that. God's going to cause a commotion one of these days, folks, when he shakes this thing up. And then he says, and then then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud of power with great glory. And when these things began to come to pass, I love this, don't you? In fact, I find myself looking up more than I ever have. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. No need to look down. No need to be down. This is what's happening that we've been looking for. He's coming in glory. He's coming in great glory, great glory, not just glory, great glory. So look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That'll be the final redemption, folks. I can sing that song, "I'm Redeemed." But I know that when this happens, that's the fullness of the redemption. He's taking me out of here. He's going to clear this whole thing. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to shake it all up. And the people that think they're in control of this thing and they've got all the sources in their power, they've got all the money and the materials and everything, and they think they can control this thing. One of these days when God shakes this thing, they're going to find out they have no power whatsoever. None. A small example of it is the storm that came up through Florida just this past week. We don't have any power over that. We can't do anything with that. That's a small storm compared to what God's going to do. Can you imagine what it's going to be like. Oh, but I can imagine just slightly, I can imagine that great glory that he's talking about. So the distress of the nations and men's hearts failing them, they're failing them because of economic problems. Right now, they're saying that in the politics, I'll just go ahead and get in politics a little bit right here. They say that in politics right now, the Democrats are running on abortion. They think that this country wants abortion so bad that they can win on abortion. They may be right, because it's about time for a shaking. And if that's where we are as a nation, I say, God, shake it. Shake it and then show your great glory. I want to see that, don't you? But the thing is that I don't believe that's the case, but it could be. But economic issues are a big problem. I tried to touch on that just a tad this morning when I was talking about how men's attitudes are about money. And it's the love of money that drives that. It's not the money itself. It's the love of that money. And the more that we get of that money, it changes our whole life. It does. If we're not strong in the Lord, folks, Satan will use the fact that you have more money than you can spend today. He will. He will. He knows how to do it, and he'll do it. So we have the distress of nations. We have men's hearts failing them for fear that there won't be any more. For fear that things are going to not last the way they've wanted them to last. There's a tremendous amount of fear. So they see it coming. Now these nations aren't approving. They're not looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that. They're not. That what they're coming, what they're looking for, if that happens, they would say, is what he could do. He would be the person who would come and make everything right so that everybody would be treated equal and everybody would have everything they need and would never need any more medical care, and no more financial problems ever. And if that's the way they're looking at it, they're not looking for him. I'm looking for him. And I want him to shake this thing up. And I don't care how he shakes it. It's quite all right with me. But there's a desire of the nations that will come when this happens. But do all nations as nations desire the coming of the Lord? And I'm going to say no. And you can say no and you would be right also. But the word desire is the word I wanted to look at here. The word desire is of a peculiar significance in this in these verses of Scripture, because it has to do, it only occurs one more time in the Bible, and I'll share that with you, because what he's talking about when he says, and they desired the things which a wise and mighty ruler would bring. That's what they want. And they think that he's going to bring those things that they desire. The desirable things of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. Did you catch that? The desirable things of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. The nations such as not desiring the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but looking for those things which he could bring to them if he did. Now, I'm going to give you some areas of what he's going to be and do when he comes, and you'll see immediately this is not what they're looking for, except what these different areas of his life could bring. He's going to come, and we already have him as this. He's going to come back as a mediator. He's already our mediator. They think he's coming back to mediate everything. He's not coming back to mediate everything. He's our mediator. A mediator is one who stands between the wrongs of men and the rights of God. That's what he does. And he's good at it. And he does it for us. I like the fact that I've got a mediator that will stand between me and God. I know that my wrongs need a mediator. When I go to court, I don't go to court because I've done everything right. I go to court because there's something wrong. Amen? And so when he comes back, he's going to come back as a mediator where he's going to make right the wrongs of mankind between him and God. The League of Nations, y'all know that phrase, right? The League of Nations. You know, they put all the nations together to come up with this powerful League of Nations. Well, that's what man wants to do. He wants to have his own League of Nations where he can have the power that he wants to. But I'm talking about a God appointed. God's not always in what we do, what we set up, because we don't look to him for guidance. We quit looking to God for guidance a long time ago as a nation. We don't look to him for guidance. Very few people mention his name. Very few. When you see a politician who will mention his name in good light and not in a cuss word, you've got somebody who will stand up for other things also. So we're looking at one who will be our God-appointed mediator, and he's coming back to do that. He's going to take care of everything we need. But then in Romans chapter 11, verse 26, he says that he's coming back as a deliverer. We need deliverance, but we need deliverance in more than one way. You'll say, well, I've already been delivered, and he is my mediator, and he is the one who watches after me. He is my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's everything to me, but I'm talking about when he comes back, and he's talking about the nations here. He's coming back as a deliverer. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Now, we know he came the first time to deliver us because he came to be our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our Deliverer, the one who would right all of our wrongs. Not in any way we could brag about it, but everything he could do for us. All that's in this world, folks, is enmity with God. That's what it is. That's why we're not comfortable here. That's why the human heart has such a problem being comfortable in this world. Because look around you. Very little. When we come to the house of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I feel like I'm where I need to be. When I go out into this world, it's one thing right after another that lets you know this is not a comfortable place for us. We can't be comfortable in this world. I've been accused of picking the wrong song to sing, and I did here recently. But I wanted to sing, I Don't Want to Get Adjusted to This World Anymore. Y'all know that song? Yeah. And I don't want to be adjusted to this world. I don't want to feel comfortable in this world because I'm not comfortable. I'm not of this world. I'm in it, but not of it. I'm in it. Here I am, but I'm not of it. And it makes me uncomfortable to be here. And it should make us all uncomfortable unless we're out winning people to the Lord. Because every day we see the growing amounts of evil everywhere. You don't have to look very far to see it. It's growing, and that's why he's getting ready to shake this thing up with all the racial problems and all the hatred that's going on and seducing spirits. Did I say seducing spirits? I did, didn't I? Well, I'm going to stick with it because it's true. Seducing spirits. It's about time we begin to think a little bit more spiritual in the way we see things in this old world. Because there are seducing spirits, and they don't all come through drugs. But you put seducing spirits and drugs together, and you've got a mess. And we have a mess in this world. And when he comes back, he's going to deliver us from that. Some of you might have folks in your family who are fighting evil spirits. And they could be in the form of drugs, alcohol, or something else. But it's all of Satan. And they're battling. They're battling hard. Some folks are battling hard to stay alive. Just to live. He'll come back and take care of that. He's going to come back and deliver us from that. I wish there's so many times that I've gone to a hospital to see folks who are in this situation, and I would give anything in the world if I could deliver them from that. I see it. I see it as something I can't touch. I can't do anything about. No matter what I say or do, I couldn't help them with it. And I've always liked to try to help, and when I can't help, it bothers me, and I can't help. But I know one who's coming back, who's going to shake this old earth up, going to shake all the nations. He'll deliver us. Then, and only then, will all the nations bow down to him. They won't have any choice. You see, if they would bow down now, they would be a whole lot better off if they'd bow now, but you can't get them to see that. But we need to be telling them anyway. We can't take that approach and not tell them that, oh, well, they're not going to do anything bad anyway. We can't do that. We've got to let them know he's coming back, and we better get ready, because you either bow now or you'll bow later. And bowing now is the thing to do. That means you could go to glory and be with him forever. Bow before him. Show him that he is who he says he is. Show him that's how you feel, how you believe that he is who he says he is. I go to doctors, seems like, all the time anymore. I've got a calendar full of appointments. You know, I've even already started setting up 2023 appointments. You'll say, well, that's nothing. Everybody else does too. I don't know, but I know I set up a whole lot of them. I can't wait for him to come back and shake this thing up. I could tell you that I think our medical system is a Las Vegas thing anyway. I know that we get help from some of the drugs we take, but face it, folks, we're in the system. We're in the system, and people are getting filthy rich off of the system, and it's not going to go away. You're not going to get better. It reminds me of the young doctor who was following in his father's footsteps, and he took over his dad's practice, and he came home one day just as happy as he could be, and he told his dad that he found a cure for Mrs. Wilson. He said, oh, no, son, what happened? He said, well, I found out what her problem was. Now she don't have that problem anymore. He said, son, she got you through med school. Just a little joke on that, but sometimes there's a lot of truth to a little bit of kidding, or a lot of kidding to a little bit of truth. Anyway, that's what happened. You know, one day he's going to shake this whole thing up, and when he comes back, I won't be sick anymore. We won't have our cough, Tom. I won't get up off the couch anymore and have to take a few steps slowly so I can start walking right. Amen. I won't have to get up in the morning and wonder, did I sleep enough? Yeah. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm as healthy as a horse. A sick one. But that won't happen anymore. It's going to be good, folks. You know, we talk about going to heaven, and there'll be no sickness in heaven. There'll be no death in heaven. There'll be none of that. Well, I'm telling you that when he comes back, he's going to be the great physician for this whole world, and he's going to take care of things. When he shakes things up, he's going to shake them up as the physician. He is going to be the physician. You won't have to ask your medical provider, can I go to this one? He's yours. He's going to do it. Amen? Yeah. He alone can handle the diseases of man. See, because he's not looking at my sinus problems. Oh, he cares about my sinus problems. He cares when I hurt different places. I know he does. But that's not what he's coming back to be the physician for. I can assure you of that. He's going to take care of our social diseases. He's going to take care of our spiritual diseases. He's going to set us right. We're going to be able to see what we wouldn't refuse to see before or couldn't see before. He's coming back as a physician who will make us whole. Great power and glory. That's how he's coming back. So that no one will say then, I'm sick. You won't need to say it anymore. It'll all be over. You won't have to. Oh, and I know that y'all have said this before. Don't tell me you haven't. When you get on a situation with certain people in certain situations, you'll say, that's sick. You ever said that before? True words. True words, folks. I'm telling you. When you see something that bad and you say it's sick, and God's going to come back one day and he's going to take care of it, and there won't be any more of that. He'll just take care of it all. He's going to shake the whole thing up. That's why I told you there's a whole lot of shaking going on. He's going to come back, and he's going to be the king. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. That's how he's coming back. Are you ready? You see, when he came the first time, he came as our Redeemer then. But that was, he came in as quiet and peaceful, and he said meek and lowly. He ain't coming back meek and lowly the next time. When he comes back as the king next time, he's going to ride on that big stallion. Amen? With lots of energy. It will be in a fashion like you've never seen before. I see those pictures of those folks riding those horses with all that glitter and glow on them. I love horses like I love dogs. But I see them riding those, and they have those nice big outfits on, boy, with their, man, don't they look good? Huh? They look kingly, don't they? They look powerful. Well, he's coming back a whole lot more than that, folks. I'm not just talking about a person on a horse. He's coming back in great power and great glory. If he wasn't on a horse, he's coming back that way. It's going to happen. There's going to be a changing of the guard. There is. He's going to be it. I wrote down a couple things here that I wanted to share with you. When he comes back and he puts evil in its right place, which is right where it should be, right among evil, the king will come back and the enemies will lick the dust. It's what the Bible says. I'm going to give you things the Bible says, not what I say. The enemies will lick the dust. Then shall all the kings of the world fall down and worship him, serve him. Deceit and violence won't be anymore. It'll all be gone. This is according to the Bible. He will be daily praised. Sometimes we praise him when we think of it. He'll be daily praised. All nations will call him blessed. Don't you love, I tell you, this morning we were singing that song in the choir. Didn't you feel blessed? And didn't you feel like telling him he is the reason for that blessing? He is blessed. All nations call him blessed. The whole earth will be filled with his glory. And I say about that, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come. And I don't say that as a person who just wants what I want. Not, you know, sometimes we want out of things because we're in pain or we have other problems, and that's how, why we want out of it. I don't have that. I don't have any pain except in my legs and hips and shoulders and head. But I don't want out of this whole world because I've got problems. I want out of it because I want to be with him. I want to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Your children of God. He loves you. He loves you more than you could ever dream to be loved, and he's coming back for you. He's going to make everything right. You're going to be in a world where there'll be nothing wrong. It'll be his kingdom, and he'll be the king. Lord, thank you for reminding us. You know we love you, and we know you love us. And we pray, God, that as we go out of this building tonight and go out back into the world, that uncomfortable place that we live in, God, help us to make a difference. Help us to make a difference. And we're going to praise you for how you use us and what you make of us. Because we know without you we're nothing. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.